Welcome to another episode of Stories for the Ages. We are the podcast for conscious aging and maturing. We do a variety of guests on our shows to make sure that you hear from the many angles of how we can approach this aging as a developmental and growth process for so many of us. Today's topic is about purpose. One of the big questions that comes up after the roles that you have had at midlife, which definitely consume time and probably provide great purpose, those roles are shift on us. And the career and the family, family creation, family developing, nurturing process, empty nesting happens, and those roles no longer have an automatic purpose. So we have to rebuild purpose into our lives, and today's guests will talk to us about how purpose is built and is maintained. And we'll have one guest today who's post-retirement and one who's still working in his 70s. And then what I want to do is to get us started is to introduce our first guest, which is a gentleman with a great background. He comes from Aleppo. He's Armenian, medical director at Ohio State University's Medical Center for 29 years, Hagop Mejian. And we're very glad to have you here today, Hagop. What have you used, Hagop, to stay so purposeful?
Well, I think some of it was accidental because people asked you to do certain things. But I also had a deliberate plan. My late father used to say every person has had a 10-year plan. Nowadays, it's more like 3-year plan. You can't plan that long. So early on, my passion was research and teaching evolved and more towards patient care. And fulfillment, achievement, that was very big, you know, to get someplace, be promoted, and so on. But once you have done that, it all of a sudden starts appearing hollow. You know, what's the big deal, being a professor? You have to have greater meaning. That's when the message came to me, how can I change things? Perhaps one of the reasons I went into medical administration was I saw opportunities to make changes, hopefully positive changes. Change is difficult, but it's the only constant. And the reason it's difficult because people don't like to change. It's human nature. They are set in their ways. And that's where it comes, deliberate effort of listening and engagement. You need to engage people and be willing to listen to their ideas. And I've been quoted, and I like it actually, having said this, look, I know what you mean. I know this is how you always done it this way. But have a little faith in me. Walk the mile with me. And most of the time, I'm gratified to say people have walked a mile. We've gotten where we want to be. So that's been most gratifying to me. I can't say we always got where we wanted to. And there's more than one way of getting there. So you have to accept other avenues how to get, as long as you have a common vision. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, that's the easiest part. Mm. It's the way to get there is the difficult part. And you have to have the willingness to listen, not just ask them to walk with you, but you walk with them. Mm-hmm. So it's a two-way street. Here's another saying. I prefaced everything saying that I've become a big fan of quotations. Again, I'm probably paraphrasing. I apologize to the author. If you want to go someplace fast, you go alone. But if you want to go far, take someone with you. It's that teamwork, collaboration, acceptance of other people, and their willingness to to give and take, to get to the ultimate goal.
Nice, thank you. So I met you not too long ago when you were in the middle of a coaching school. You were learning how to become an executive coach, and you did this relatively recently. So I'd like you to tell us a little bit about what is classically called an encore career, or at least a move in a different direction professionally. Tell us about that.
Thank you, John. Actually, it came at a time when I had stepped down as the chief medical officer of Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center. Throughout that period of time, without saying anything self-serving, one of my core values or drivers was helping people. I had done that through the medical profession, I like to say, not just the science of medicine, but building relationships with people, sharing their lives, and hoping to have contributed to their betterment of their lives. So I was wondering how I might continue that thread of thinking or sentiment, if you will. I became aware of the coaching. I thought this was another venue of doing the same, not in the medical environment, but getting to know people, bringing the best in them to the extent that I could, so that they could find their way in life, and I personally would find continued meaning in my own life. It was a selfish thing. The feeling of finding meaning in life to this day to me is very important, and I would advocate to whoever is listening, it's also important for everybody. You have to be able to get up in the morning and say, why am I here? Why am I getting up to do what? My answer is to find meaning in my own life through various ways. It can be in medicine, it can be in teaching, it could be helping the underprivileged, or coaching in this instance.
Gop, the way you've tied purpose to medicine is, I think, very clear. And what we know about aging and ripening and maturing, I like to use all three of those words when we talk about aging, is that it's quite clear that relationships, service, purpose, all are part of the mix for a wise and, I would say, sweet part of life, if we can see it that way. Tell us a little bit more about how you, as you age and ripen, think about this sense of purpose.
My father was a blacksmith. Gosh, he took great pride in satisfaction with an anvil and a hammer and a furnace shaping a piece of metal. That gave him a great deal of satisfaction, more so than the money he was paid to do it. And again, that example may not be applicable, but the carpenter who is retiring, or a builder, without going into details, I have a friend who's a barber. And we've had discussion along these same lines. And he can do so many things to feel that he continues to lead a meaningful life, rather than just no longer nobody needs his services. That's one of the worst things that one can have as a feeling. Nobody needs you.
Right. Well, and the notion that with the right attitude, even things that look menial become meaningful when you have that, and when you have your heart in the right place. So, Hagop, we near the end here, and I thank you for your time and your generous thoughts here and your lifetime of really being an example of what service and purpose does, what final words would you want to leave with our listeners today?
The final words I like to recommend, arguably, it may not be correct. One has to be deliberate about these things. One has to plan ahead of time. And never forget that we have choices. It's not one thing. We have a multitude of choices. The freedom to pursue one of those choices to achieve the end goal of feeling good about yourself and feeling that God puts us on this earth, not as a biological specimen, but someone who can do good to others.
And with those great words, I will be reminded myself of what my mom said to me when she was, I think, about 89 years old. She said, you know, I still feel the same on the inside as I did when I was a young girl. And I think what she was pointing to was the ageless part of the human spirit. And I think we've just heard that today.
At the risk of breaking your rules and timetable, I have to make a confession.
Which is?
One of my demons, and I call these demons, it's truly demons, is the question whether I have done enough. I don't know the answer. God will judge us. But I ask that question to myself all the time.
I think it's the right question. Have we done enough? Have we been relevant? Have we done what we've been put here for? Thanks, Agop. Great to see you.
Thank you, John.
What I'm noticing is that we grow older in this culture that does not expect very much from us at all, and that instead sees it a kind of a predictable decline and medical needs as being what getting older is all about. So we are challenged not to become more of ourselves in our culture, but instead to slow down and fade away gracefully and become less in kind of a non-problematic way. There are very few positive roles for elders, really. I see sometimes a university will be a place where some elders can hang out and still teach classes, but often, especially in the corporate world, you can be thrown out, and sometimes very unceremoniously, at age 50 or 55. I've had many a person tell me their story there. We seldom reward elders with challenging assignments, and maybe there's some good in that, but the Jimmy Carters of the world had to kind of create those things by themselves. And we often encourage elders to retire to Fun City, where they can be outside the main culture and they can kind of consume in a niche market for elders. So this great, great resource of wisdom and possibility and talent is unknown, and we in many ways let elders become disposable. Our next guest is still in the workplace, very much focused on the purpose of why he wants to stay a leader in a university setting. And I've known Leo for many years, as he was first on the industry side of things, and then he moved into a role that has got him into a community development university chancellor role. And I think you'll enjoy Leo's perspective on what it means in his early 70s to lead a large organization with great potential for an urban area. Leo, welcome. And let me first ask you, how do you confront the questions that come with being in your 70s? What's that like for you?
Well, you know, to me, I think it starts when you accept the fact that no one gets out of this life alive. So when you, the earlier you accept that, your mortality, I think the sooner you can get on with, so what are you gonna leave behind? What impact do you really wanna have? What do you want your life to really speak for? And it's a bad example, but it's like planning for retirement. You know, at some point you're not going to be at work, but if you wanna have a lifestyle, the sooner you recognize you need to start saving for that, the higher the quality of that retirement, assuming you don't take on a job that you weren't planning to take on, like I did. But I think for me, it starts when you accept that you're not gonna be here forever. So what impact do you really want to have left behind? You know, what is that legacy? Not just, I mean, a lot of people think about it as a job, you know, what legacy do I want to leave at the workplace? But it's really more important to think about your life's impact.
Mm-hmm. Got it. And so I heard Peter Drucker say I read it about like 10 years ago. And if you don't know Peter Drucker, he was the like number one management consultant guru and management guru of maybe all time in the United States, 20th century presence for 50, 60 years in his career. And he said when he turned 65, he had two strategies. One was to slow down and the other was to speed up. And he and his wife looked at each other and they said, let's speed up. And away he went and he worked into his early 90s. So is that what you're doing? And I don't want to, you know, impose that on you, but is that, you look to me like you're sure not slowing down, Leo.
Well, no, I'm not. And that's because I'm not driven by, a philosophy like that. I'm really driven by what I really need to do. I spent a lot of time volunteering for things while I was still working in the corporate world. And I've always told folks, make sure you volunteer for things you have a passion for. Because if you have a passion for it, you will contribute. You will show up for the meetings and you'll make a difference. If you don't have a passion for them, you'll just be there and you'll have a poor reputation for it. And it was all of that volunteer work that led to my current engagement as chancellor of the university, because I was chair of the board of trustees. And it was the work that I did there in helping to bring the university and the community back together after some difficult times that I think led to them asking me to step in as an interim. And then after being in the job as interim for about 4 months, after declaring that I was not interested, after it was in the newspapers that I would not even be a candidate, I was not a candidate. I never applied for the job. But after 4 months, the job felt right to me, and they just dropped the search and asked me to stay. And it's now been over 8 years. And I think while I couldn't see it, I think people are constantly telling me how different things are and how better things are. And so I accept that, but it's because I've had a great team of people. And I think I'm doing, you know, I think I mentioned to you that I was a speaker for the mayor's prayer breakfast here. And I told him, you know, I'm going to tell you that I believe I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do right now. And if I can tell you, and in 15 minutes, I'm going to tell you about my journey from Birmingham, Alabama, to this place and all of the things that have happened. And you can call that a sequence of coincidences, but I think there's probably a greater plan there. So I think what it's been about for me has been about contributing to this community. The thought that I could leave this university in a place that is really having the impact on this region that it is intended to have. It's a region that has 2.5 million people. It is the only public research university in the MSA. It is integral, in my opinion, to the future success of the region. It's a region that really cares and wants to be great. And we just really need to position the university to assume that role. And I think, you know, I've been blessed to have the contacts to be able to bring the people in the university and the people in the community who care and have the resources together to do important things.
So Leo, you're what, 71 years old?
Yes, yes.
Go back 10 years and go pretend you're talking to a 61-year-old. Any patterns or tips or what would you say to someone 10 years younger who's still in a leadership role? And what would you tell them?
Well, you know, most people are, you know, get to that period, and if they haven't thought about what's next, because they've been so involved in doing what's in front of them, that they haven't thought really much beyond that, then, you know, I just encourage them to think about that. You know, what's your life really all about? What do you want written on that tombstone, you know, as someone once said, you know? And, you know, you've had maybe a great career in the, you know, the private or the public sector, and where do you plan to spend your time? And you can't play enough golf. You can want to spend time with the grandkids, but even they will want you to go home at some point. So, you know, what, you know, you think about, if you could think about one great thing that you'd like to leave behind, how would you make that happen? I mean, you can't get to 61 years old and having done as much as most people have and not see some things that other people younger have not seen. Mm-hmm. And if you could just tell them, if you could give them a message about what's important from your perspective about being successful or making life make sense, what would you tell them? Mm-hmm. You know, and think about that. Where would you spend your time? I mean, what do you have a passion for? Because I'll tell you, especially in a city like Kansas City, there are more volunteer opportunities than you can, mm-hmm. you know, you can imagine. Yeah. I mean, it's a very giving town. And if you're ready to work, there's more than enough opportunities to get busy on important issues. So you just need to think about what you have passion for so that you make sure that you're putting energy into things that you care about.
So tell me what makes a good mentor in your mind when you watch yourself or others do good mentoring. What are they doing that works?
I think you usually come to it with a boatload of experience, but you can't just dump that on somebody. You really need to be a good listener, because mm-hmm. I think you need to understand that most people have the answers inside of themselves. Mm-hmm. And if you just listen and ask the right questions, they will uncover it. And you don't need to impress them with all the things that you've done and all the experiences you've had. You just need to be there for them. And too often, I think, as a mentor, you just want to get in and, you know, give a whole bunch of advice. And you got to understand that, you know, people have to get to a certain place before they can start listening.
Got it.
And until they can get certain things off their chest, it's just going in one ear and out the other. So,
yeah. So give me a final word, Leo. We're wrapping up here, and you've been generous with your time and with your great thoughts. And what final word would you want to say about aging for yourself or for others?
Aging is good. It's better than not aging.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that it's important to age well. And I think that's the question you started with. And as I mentioned before, how do you know that you're aging well? I think you can't look at whether or not you're still able to run a mile or whether you look good. I think it's whether or not you feel that you're really contributing and whether you're contributing in ways that you really want to. Have you really thought about your life? Have you accepted that at one of these days, the sun's going to come up and you won't be looking at it? Mm-hmm. And but everything that you've done in your life is going to be left behind. And you need to make sure it's the right thing that you wanted to leave behind, that you've influenced things around you so that the world is better because you were here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm I, along with a lot of other people, are really glad that you have determined that that's what makes your life tick, Leo. So thanks for your service. Thanks for being with us today. And keep on keeping on, okay, for all of us?
Well, thank you. It's an absolute pleasure for me. I think the fact that folks are out there and encourage me keeps me going.
Great. Well, I know your words will be encouraging for a lot more people.
Well, thank you, John. Thanks for doing this.
My pleasure, Leo. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
This is John Schuster with Stories for the Ages. I want to thank our guests for their great words today. And I want to give special thanks to WOSU Public Media. This is a production of that group, to our manager, Tom Ryland, and to a great studio presence in Eric French, who's put our audio product together. Thanks again, listeners.